Just quickly, John had talked about in the first study how laziness brings on a lot of this, and we don't read much about the Philistines here except that Shamgar slew 600 of them. And so I wonder if we can take a lesson here that it wasn't the 10,000 Moabites in the former verse, but Shamgar was proactive, as John told us to be exercised about, and stopped this before it became anything more, before it took away any further affections. He judged, he brought judgment on the enemy and delivered Israel.
Maybe just one more comment. It seems like Shamgar's response was that of immediate obedience. There was not much rationalizing that he was doing with the Lord. And it reminded me of Peter's response in Luke chapter 5 when the Lord there called him. At the end of verse 10, it says, Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So there was an immediate response there from Peter to follow the Lord. Although he had a family and this was his livelihood, this was the way that he was feeding his family and looking after his family, his occupation of fishing, but he forsook all and followed the Lord immediately. There was no back and forth, but it was an immediate response. And that's very practical for us today. Sometimes we faced with our midweek meeting and our friends are maybe occupied doing something else, going to a movie or something else, and we say, okay, Lord, maybe next week. I'll come to the meeting next week. But here we see two who are faithful and who follow the Lord immediately at request.
So, with that, we'll take a segue and we go to chapter 10. We have about 35 minutes or so. And let's talk about these interesting judges that we have in chapter 10. Again, it's like very little said about them, but the great thing is this, how heaven evaluate things, not how men evaluate things. I mean, there are much written about Samson, but you know what? I'd rather be Tola or Jair than being a Samson.
Interesting idea is the constant reminder for the requirement of a savior. It says, after Abimelech there rose up to save Israel, Tola. There's a constant need in our Christian pathway. There's not a time that we arrive and we no longer need to be saved from things. We always need to depend on the Lord. And we always need to have that mindset of, Lord, I am weak, and without you, Lord, I will fail. And so there is a constant reminder in the book of Judges, and it's good for us to learn this lesson, that constantly we need to be saved from, you know, practically.
I thought, and this is just a nudge a little bit here, I thought that we're saved already. You know, we're saved already. So this constant need to be saved. Are you saying I can't sit down on my laurels and just float through life and everything will be fine? you know, I sit down in my comfort chair and I'm okay. I'm not going to be defeated. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I don't have to worry.
Well, what we're studying is the children of Israel, and they were the people of God. So we're not talking about the matter of eternal salvation, whether they're going to heaven or to hell, but we're talking about the practical walk with God and being victorious or being defeated, being fruitful for God or not. And so this constant need of reliance and dependence on God to save us out of our circumstance, out of our weakness, and to allow us to have victory in Him.
First Peter 1 is describing some of our wonderful blessings, and we have in verse 5 describing believers who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And there are many other verses in Scripture, but this is clearly just an example of what you're alluding to, Brother David, that this is not eternal salvation described here in 1 Peter. And it's an important verse for us all to take hold of. The fact that, yes, we are saved eternally, but there are still things we need to be saved from. And so the promise here in 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 5, is that we are kept by the power of God. So it's by God, the same power of the same one who saved us eternally, as we heard in the gospel. Through faith, that's our part. What are we saved onto? Salvation. So it's daily salvation. Up until when all is revealed in the last time. But in the King James, it doesn't use the word salvation. It doesn't say save Israel. It says in verse 1 that Tola was, he arose to defend Israel. And I just wanted to speak on that a little bit, because it's important that we're ready to defend not only the faith, and not only, of course, the honor of God's name and His Son's name, but also each other. If whoever you're sitting next to, if you came here with them, I hope this is not the only thing you do with them, and that is go to conferences, and go to meeting, and go to all the things that you'd go to anyway if you're a believer. Let's be sure that we are close with other believers, that those who we know call on the name of the Lord Jesus, that we are ready to defend them. And I'm not speaking of jumping in a fight. Hopefully none of us are involved in that in the first place. But there too, so they can lean on us. There so we can sharpen them. You know, iron sharpens iron, we know that. All of these things we read of, especially in the Old Testament, about relationship. That it's better to have two than one. This is very important in your Christian life. You can't do it alone. Yes, you have the Lord Jesus. He is your closest friend. He always should be. But you need to have support around you. And be ready to defend. So in order to defend, we have to have all of that which we studied with Ehud. We can't defend if we don't know what's right. So you have to have, like we said before, your vision directed upwards, and so you know the difference between right and wrong and what should be defended.
You said much about the sword, but we also are given a shield too. There's Christianity as a warfare, but we're not just swinging wildly. There comes a time when we must use the shield of faith to defend. I'm reminded of in Nehemiah, they are building, but their weapons are in their hand, and their weapons are close by, because the enemy, we had when we talked about Ehud, they took back the plains of Jericho, they took the city of the palms. The enemy wants to take away any kind of spiritual gain that the Lord sees fit to give us. The little birds are coming to take away the seeds. That's what the Lord Jesus taught. So what we learn, what we take, what we hear, even in a day of conference, it needs to be defended. We need to defend it. We need to capture it. We need to hold on to it, because the enemy, he wants to take it away. You know, we're saved, and that's a wonderful thing. We're forever saved. And he wants to render us ineffective for the master's use.